Welcome to our Sunday gathering at Holy Angels Parish. We're broadcasting live to you from beautiful Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, Canada. Whether you are here with us live or joining us on the archive, know that you are welcome. Holy Angels Parish is part of the Community Catholic Church of Canada. Our service today is led by Archbishop Deborah Vaughan. If you'd like to follow along with today's service, you'll see a link right on the program page, and it'll take you right to holyangelscommunity.com. Click that, and you'll see the prayers, readings, and responses for today. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this time of worship on this third Sunday after Easter. Thank you for joining us for this time of prayer. We are enriched by your presence with us. You'll find the service for today on those links that you see on the show page. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Dear friends, God is with us. As we connect here today with open hearts, the presence of Christ surrounds and affirms us. We are one in this divine embrace of spirit. As we open our hearts for worship, let us take a moment now and reflect on the things that we've said and done that we're proud of, and offer to God the things in our life that we've said and done that we wish to now confess. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the collect of the day for the third Sunday after Easter. O God, your Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The psalm appointed for this morning is Psalm 116, verses 1 to 4, and verses 12 to 19. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and supplication. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The Gospel reading today is written in the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 13th verse. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them said, whose name is Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening. The day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread. He blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has indeed risen, and he's appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had made known to them in the breaking of the bread. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Today's Gospel is actually one of my most favorite readings. Often in the Gospel texts, things are written around Jesus, his teachings, his healings, his miracles, the parables, what he has to say as they're walking on the road. And as appropriate, he's always the center of the attention. But now in this passage, we come across two fellows walking along the road, discussing, talking about things they've heard and seen that very first Easter day. They've been in contact with the disciples. They're marveling at what they've heard. What could it all mean? And as they walk along, they're joined by a stranger, actually Jesus, but they don't recognize him. And they fill him in on the events from their perspective. We're getting their recap of what's gone on. And they're excited because they've heard that Jesus wasn't at the tomb, that angels have announced that he's risen, that he's alive somehow. And how incredible is that? So they're walking along, talking, discussing all these things. And the stranger tells them about prophecies and how, of course, it makes sense that all this would come to pass. This is why God brought Jesus to live among them, to teach us about God's love. And their hearts are stirred by his words. And as he goes to continue on the journey, they stop him and invite him to come and join them at their house because it's soon going to be dark. And as they have supper, as he takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he offers it to them, their eyes are opened. It's like the scales fall off and suddenly there's Jesus in their midst. How wonderful and marvelous. And as they respond, as they are delighted and just incredulous at this person in their midst, he vanishes from their sight. Now we may think, And actually, they head to Jerusalem in that hour, the text says, so that they can tell the 11 what has transpired. So we may think, oh, those silly men, how could they not have recognized Jesus? They'd walked with him, they talked with him for hours. Surely they must have gotten a clue. But remember, the whole story about Jesus' life is full of unpredictable things. His birth in a stable with a sky full of angels proclaiming it to shepherds. Wandering around the countryside, touching ordinary people's life, hanging out with the unclean, with prostitutes, with sinners, healing on the Sabbath, going against rules and regulations. And most recently, his arrest and his crucifixion as a common criminal. And now, most amazingly of all, news that he's risen from the dead. The experience of these two men on the road is an important one for us. We can relate to them. Like those two on the road, we talk about what we've heard from other sources. We weren't there. A lot of time has passed between that first Easter and the most recent Easter. We weren't there to hear Jesus preach from the mountain. We weren't there to watch him heal people. We weren't there to witness his death on the cross. And these two might have. They might have been involved. It sounds like they're very much disciples and very much aware and familiar with Jesus and with the 11. They rushed back to them, after all, back to Jerusalem after their encounter with Jesus. But they weren't there at that very morning to hear the angels, to hear the women, to see the empty tomb. As we come to know Jesus, as we come to know about him, we gather and we share what we know, we share what we understand, we share what we've learned about Jesus and his life from the scriptures, from tradition, from stories that have been passed down, from the faith of others. Someone said that faith is caught and not taught, and I think that's the truth. We've become disciples of Jesus, baptized usually when we're infants, but we grow in to our faith. We grow in as we discover and uncover the wonders and the mysteries of all that following Jesus means. So as we come to know Jesus, we are part of the church. Often many of us do not go to church now, but we still call ourselves Christian. We still identify with Jesus. We've all had our unique journeys along the way. And look at today. Even as you hear this, you're sitting near a computer. We're gathering through the internet. I've never met you, you've never met me, and here we are, talking about Jesus, exploring our faith together. The internet, which sounded like science fiction not that long ago. And we hear together that gospel passage, which is familiar to us. We hear again the excitement of the men, and we can relate to their thirsting, to their yearning to know more, to know this Jesus more personally, to actually hear him, to know for ourselves the amazing work that God has done in him and through him for us. We can know Jesus. We can know Jesus with the eyes of faith. Every time we look, every time we reach out, there's Jesus in our midst. Every time we pray, he's standing with us. Every time we knock at that door and we ask, Jesus is there to guide us to answers and resolutions. The Holy Spirit is also there, that still small voice within, to illuminate us, to affirm us, to help us to interpret and understand more clearly the way that Jesus is moving in our lives. I like to say that we are a resurrection people, an Easter people, and I can tell you that in my own faith journey, it was the resurrection, which seems the most highly unlikely thing of all, but it was the resurrection that transformed my understanding of Jesus. Because we have these poor disciples afraid for their lives, locked in a room, afraid that, you know, the guards are coming for them next. They feel like utter failures. Good Friday, that, you know, Jesus is dead. He's hanging on a cross, and now he's buried. He's put in a tomb. No more leader. No more ministry. Where do they go from there? They are utterly, utterly, desperately grieving the loss of ministry and their friend whom they loved, they cherished. And so at that first Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, they didn't know what was going to happen next. When Mary and the women went to the tomb and found it empty, their first thought must have been, somebody has stolen the body. Certainly Mary Magdalene said, where have you laid him? Where have you taken him? I'll go there. I'll get him. They couldn't even conceive of the idea of Jesus rising from the dead. And yet, that was where my faith started to turn. Because in the book of Acts, in the very next breath, Jesus is revealed. Rabboni, Mary says, as she encounters him in the garden, as the bread is broken at the table of the two men from Emmaus, and they see Jesus, he's revealed. He comes to the disciples. He appears before them on several occasions, and he teaches them further in this afterlife place, this afterlife appearance. He is alive. And you get the disciples going out into the world, and they're proclaiming. They're no longer afraid. And that was where I started to be transformed. I related so strongly with the disciples. Here they are proclaiming. They're healing. They're doing the things that Jesus told them they would do. This and greater you will do, he said. And they are. There's nothing different about those disciples than us. Because God is doing mighty works in us too, if we only let it. Jesus is calling us today. He's inviting us. He's standing before us, the risen Christ, saying, you are my beloved. You are my chosen one. Follow me. Follow me still. God has given us victory over the grave. God has given us victory over any fear. God is mighty, mighty, mighty. Why would we have a worry or concern when we can take it to Jesus, when we can take it to God and say, help me? And to know that what we see is not all there is. That even after death, we go to a marvelous place to be with God for eternity. We have eternal life, all of us. We have eternal life. We are there with God in that place of light and love. And so we can know Jesus in our midst. We can know that he's there when we call for help, when we feel afraid, when we need courage, when we're uncertain of the future. We can call on holy angels to assist because God has given them as a gift to us to reassure that we are okay, that even when all looks dark, God is still there with us. Bringing us what we need, helping us learn the lessons, but bringing us through, ultimately, for our highest and our best, if we have the faith and trust to believe that. Wherever there is a need, God is there. Wherever there is love, God is. So whether we're breaking bread with our friends and family or going up to the communion rail, that gift of love and blessing, that assurance that we do not walk this path alone, is always there for us. It's just a matter of us being transformed to see it. Like those people at the table who see Jesus suddenly among them. Today, let your hearts burn with the news of the mighty works of God. The works that God has done for you and I in Jesus. Prepare yourself for miracles because they are happening all around. Prepare yourself for blessings because God is showering us with good things. We focus so much on the negative and the worries and the fears. It's time to turn our eyes, turn on, flame on, turn on those eyes of faith and see the miracles, see the blessings, see the healings, the answered prayers. Let your faith be strengthened by the empty tomb, by the risen Christ, by the experience of the two on the road to Emmaus, and see Jesus standing before you, opening his arms and inviting you to journey along with him. May you be blessed this day. Amen. And now let us continue in our service with a time of intercession. Let us pray. We praise your abiding guidance, O God, for you sent us Jesus, our teacher and Messiah, to model for us the way of love for the whole universe. We offer these prayers of love on behalf of ourselves and our neighbors, on behalf of your creation and all our fellow creatures. We pray for the leaders of nations, for those in authority, that justice and equality and love would guide every decision. We pray especially for all the troubled places across the planet, for a happy and swift conclusion to the crisis in the Ukraine, for the safe return of hundreds of kidnapped girls to their parents in Africa, for a world that is more consumed by helping each other than seeing differences. We pray for religious leaders of every faith and language, that divine love would be taught, that love and compassion would be the rule, and that a spirit of inclusion and acceptance of all people as children of the one God be promoted. We pray for those who are in any need or distress, for those who are hungry, afraid, those feeling isolated, those feeling alone and hopeless. We pray for those who are ill and need to know God's healing touch in their lives, remembering especially today Jean, Leanne, Kathy, and any other who is in our hearts this day. And we pray for our own needs, our own concerns. Let's leave them at the foot of the cross. Let's offer them into God's tender care so that we may enjoy our day, knowing that it is being taken care of, prayers will be answered. All we need is look for the solution and see it coming into our experience. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word. Draw us closer to you, that the whole world may be one with you, as you are one with us, in Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are in communion with each other and all with the Creator. We are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. We are all one, all fashioned by the love of God, all gifted by God's grace, all embraced together by God's love. Today, as we connect with that constant, unbounded presence, may our lives be filled with joy, and may the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. May we be the hands of Christ, assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ, speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brothers and sisters, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for joining me on this beautiful May day. I appreciate that you've taken the time out to worship with us and to offer prayers. If you have any prayer requests, you can send them along to me and we pray daily. We'll put them in our daily list. Just send them to holyangels@simpatico.ca. Visit the website. You'll see prayers online. You'll see YouTube videos that will encourage and support you. Our broadcasts are always available on archive. Check out Connection Point and check out the Angel Ladies show. You'll find a lot of various things here to entertain you and uplift you on Spirit of Love Network. Until next time, blessings be with you. Thank you for joining us today in this time of worship. We know that you have been blessed. You can find out more about Holy Angels Parish and our ministry at www.holyangelscommunity.com. There you can become a member, you can offer a donation, and join us in several ways. You can also join our Facebook group. Until next week, may you be richly blessed and held in our Creator's love.